Preventing God's Judgments by St. John Chrysostom. If thou desires not to be punished even here, pass judgment on thyself, exact thine own penalty. Listen to Paul when he saith, If we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. If thou do this, proceeding in order, thou shalt even arrive at a crown. But how are we to exact our own penalty, one may ask? Lament, groan bitterly, humble, afflict thyself, call to remembrance thy sins in their particulars. This thing is no small torture to a man's soul. If any man hath been in a state of contrition, he knows that the soul is punished by this more than anything. If any hath been living in remembrance of sins, he knows the anguish thence arising. Therefore, doth God appoint righteousness as a reward for such repentance, saying, Declare thou, that thou mayest be justified. Be then first to tell thy sin, that is, for it is not indeed a small step towards amendment to lay together all our sins, and to be continually revolving and reckoning them up with their particulars. For he that is doing this will be so heartbroken as not to think himself worthy so much as to live, and he that thinks thus will be tenderer than any wax. For tell me not of great and notorious sins only, nor of things that are manifest and acknowledged amongst all men, but lay together also thy secret crafts, and thy false accusations, and thine evil speakings, and thy vain gloryings, and thine envies, and all such things. For neither will these bring a trifling punishment. For the reviler too shall fall into hell, and the drunkard hath no part in the kingdom. And he that loves not his neighbor so offends God as to find no help even in his own martyrdom. And he who overlooks the poor is sent into the fire. Account not then these things to be little, but put all together and write them as in a book. For if thou write them down, God blots them out. Even as on the other hand, if thou omit writing them, God both inscribes them and exacts their penalty. It were then far better to them to be written by us, and blotted out above, than on the contrary, when we have forgotten them, for God to bring them before our eyes in that day. Therefore, that this may not be so, let us reckon up all with strictness, and we shall find ourselves answerable for much. For who is clear from covetousness? Nay, tell me not of the quantity, but since even a small amount we shall pay the same penalty, consider this and repent. Who is rid of all insolence? Yet this casts into hell. Who hath secretly spoken evil of his neighbor? Yet this deprives one of the kingdom. Who hath not been self-willed? Yet this man is more unclean than all. Who hath not looked with unchaste eyes? Yet this is a complete adulterer. Who hath not been angry with his brother without a cause? Yet such an one is in danger of the council. Who hath not sworn? Yet this thing is of the evil one. Who hath not forsworn himself? But this man is something more than of the evil one. Who hath not served mammon? But this man is fallen away from the genuine service of Christ. I have also other things greater than these to mention, but even these are enough and able, if a man be not made to stone, not utterly past feeling, to bring him to compunction. For if each one of them casts into hell, what will they not bring to pass when they are all met together? How then can anyone be saved? It may be asked, by application of the countervailing remedies, alms, prayers, compunction, repentance, humility, a contrite heart, contempt of possessions. For God hath marked out for us innumerable ways of salvation, if we be willing to attend. Fasting brings no small power, for both implants much strictness, and of a man makes an angel, and fights against the incorporeal powers, yet not by itself, but by prayer too is needed, and prayer must come first. For what purpose did Christ go up into the mountain? To teach us that loneliness and retirement are good when we pray to God. With this view, you see, he is continually withdrawing into the wilderness, and there often spends the whole night in prayer, teaching us earnestly to seek such quietness in our prayers as the time and place may confer. For the wilderness is the mother of quiet. It is a calm and a harbor, delivering us from all turmoils. And blessings spring forth both fasting and praying. For he that is praying as he ought, and fasting, hath not many wants, And he that hath not many wants cannot be covetous, and he that is not covetous will be also more disposed for almsgiving. He that fasts is light and winged, and prays with wakefulness, and quenches his wicked lusts, and propitiates God, and humbles his soul when lifted up. Therefore, even the apostles were almost always fasting. He that prays with fasting hath his wings double, and lighter than the very winds. And if the body be too weak to fast continually, still it is not too weak for prayer. Let us then give heed to these innumerable ways of salvation, if we be willing to attend. Let us then attend, and let us every way cleanse our wounds, showing mercy, remitting our anger against them that have displeased us, giving thanks for all things to God, fasting according to our power, praying sincerely, making unto ourselves friends of the mammon of unrighteousness. For so shall we be able to both obtain pardon for our offenses, and to win the promised good things, whereof may we all be counted worthy by the grace and love towards man of our Lord Jesus Christ, to whom be glory and might forever and ever. Amen.